You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome. This is the place where you can get a psychological spin on what's going on in the news. And I can also give you some suggestions to answer your questions, whether they're about relationships, unresolved feelings, working out how to better, talk to people. Any other questions or issues or even comments you may have, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me here live on the air at 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Or, of course, if you'd like to contact me via email, I pull it up right away here in the studio. And that email address is docmichelle, docmichelle at aol.com. docmichelle with two L's. At AOL.com. So nice to have you all here. And today what I thought I would do is answer some listeners' questions. I got a lot of emails over the last couple of weeks that I need to catch up with. And of course, I welcome your calls live here on the air. If you are shy, you can go ahead and email me at docmichelle at AOL.com. I want to let you guys know that we don't have a therapeutic relationship, you and I. You see, I'm just offering suggestions based on things that have worked in the past, based on studies that show that certain types of thinking or certain types of behavior may be really effective and helpful for you. I'm not saying you should do this or you should do that. I'm just making suggestions here. I just want to kind of let you have your own head, but at the same time give you some input as to, things that might be going on around your world and how people have solved their problems in the past that are similar to yours. And that's what we're doing today. So let's jump into it. I'm going to start out with a really cool email from a guy named Brett. And this is a common question that I have from people, very common. And I see a lot of people in my practice who come in and say, "Hey, doc, this is what's going on. What can I do?" So Brett says, "Hey, Doc, I've heard you talk about the things that make up good, long-lasting relationships. I'm kind of paranoid about getting into another relationship because I was in the marriage from hell, which lasted 3 years. I doubt my judgment of finding a nice lady. Here's why. Oh, dear. My ex-wife was wonderful and fun when I first met her. Then she slowly turned into this nagging, needy woman." How many of you done that? Gotten into a relationship, and then you discover that they're not all cracked up to what they made themselves out to be. Anyway, Brett goes on to say, "Shortly after getting married, she quit her job and, much to my surprise, had an addiction to shopping. I noticed our credit card bills were getting higher and higher. Also, she was controlling. She insisted that I call her several times a day from my high-stress job and demanded that I come home immediately after. She always asked me, 'When are you going to get here?' She started withholding having sex with me when I didn't give her my full attention. I had to give up my gym time, watching my sports shows, and having friends over. I found out she didn't have any friends herself and always had some sort of emotional problem with her family, which she would cry and complain about every day for hours. What happened to this wonderful woman I married? How could someone become such a good actress?" Well, yeah. "I was always there for her and became a financial and emotional caregiver for this 30-year-old woman who acted like a child. I suggested she have therapy, but she wouldn't go. I had to get some myself. My psychologist cleared up many things for me. Now that we're divorced, I feel like myself again. We have no kids, and I care about her, but I can't be her caregiver and therapist. How do I trust my judgment to find someone who's normal in the future? Well, that's a great question. So many clients come to me with their, you know, stories about how they imagine someone to be who they were either engaged to or in a long-term relationship with or married to, but they turned out to be not that. And of course, it's normal to start doubting yourself. You know, I don't trust myself anymore. Why did I pick this person? Well, there are some people, you know, who are on good behavior because they want to snag a mate. I mean, aren't we all on good behavior when we first start dating people and starting to get to know people? We're pretty much good behavior. We look really clean, and most of us, and look great, and we try to say the right things and seem like we're kind of up and happy. You know what I'm saying? We try to put all those really positive qualities out there. And then when we get comfortable with someone, and I hear this all the time, we start to kind of let down and become our true selves. Then we dump a lot of our unresolved stuff onto our partners. And they go, what? Huh? Who's this person? Who is this person I married? What is this person? So, I see a lot of that. So, let's see. Brett, what I'm going to do is give you some suggestions that might clear up some of your doubts. So you can have little checkpoints. And you can, of course, listen to this show in a replay. Or you can download it later, as always. After sometime tomorrow afternoon, possibly. And it just take notes. But I'm telling you right now, here are some qualities of a good partner that you might look for. So you can make a little checklist for yourself. I would suggest, and I know it's hard because there's a lot of actors out there, try to find someone who has sort of a stable and pleasant disposition. An optimistic person, you know? Find somebody who has a sense of humor and can laugh at himself or herself. Because true happiness comes from a content heart. All right? Now, little heads up here, Brett. Become aware of the person who's only happy when you're around. Because we do get tired of being responsible for another person's happiness. Okay? I imagine you probably ended up feeling guilty when she slipped into bouts of depression or was angry. You sound like a pleaser, kind of a caregiver guy, which is great, okay. But you have to draw boundaries and learn how to take care of yourself and get someone who really look for little signs. You know, it's really important that you learn that true happiness is a part of somebody's character, regardless of the circumstances. I mean, are they pretty mellow? Are there signs? Some signs? She doesn't have any friends? She's always in arguments with her family? You probably just kind of ignored, like many people do when they want to get into a relationship, some of the signs that she was controlling. Were there any other signs that she was in debt when you got into the marriage? Did she have credit bills that were run up? Or did she not have any credit cards because she couldn't get any? Did she have problems with banks? You know, you have to look at these things because, you know, you said, oh, all of a sudden our credit cards started going up. And she had shopping addictions. You got to kind of get clues from that person's past and look into what they've done in their spending habits in order to really get some information. So, all right, another really good quality is thoughtfulness. Obviously, your wife wasn't real thoughtful of you. It was all about her needing to control you to come home and be there for her. So you have to look at how does your partner going into a relationship treat their parents? How do they treat their relatives? How do they treat their friends? You know, because if you look at that, chances are you're going to get treated about the same way. You know, our personalities are pretty consistent in terms of the way we give and are thoughtful to other people. So you have to ask yourself, Brett, does she see things, you know, that need to be done? Does she listen? Does she offer help? Does she put her own needs first? You know what I'm saying? You have to... You have to really think about somebody who's thoughtful. Another great quality is somebody who doesn't get PO'd really easily. Somebody who's not hot-tempered, you know? Because temper outbursts can be the symptom of really a lot of internal hostility and pain and, of course, abuse and, you know, problems in the past, you know? And a lot of times what happens is this hostility or anger is repressed during courtship. Just like I said, if you guys, you know, are going out and you're trying to make things work, there's a lot of repression going on because somebody's going to be on good behavior. They're not going to, you may see little bouts of anger here and there, but they're going to be pretty much on good behavior in order to snag a person in a relationship, right? So take seriously any outburst that you see and check with other people in their lives who've known this person in different situations. And that way you can see if kind of they've noticed this trait, right? Here's an example, like the way, let's say, a lady treats her younger brother may be an indication of how she's going to treat her husband or her dad or how, you know, the men in her life. And also be leery of somebody who's not learned to express their anger in words and instead harbors like feelings or is passive aggressive, that kind of thing. So you just kind of notice those little things. Also, try to find someone who's willing to solve problems. Right? So somebody who's willing to work on the relationship. Find somebody who's honest enough to admit being wrong and doesn't have a habit of blaming other people. You know, that defense mechanisms of, but you did. Instead of being a little more humble and lowering that ego, saying, you know what? You're right. I messed up. I do that sometimes because I feel hurt. Or I feel like I have to, or, you know, whatever. So somebody who's willing to be more vulnerable and open. Purity is a really good quality as well. And I say purity, it's not like an old-fashioned virtue. I love that word because it's just safer to be with somebody who hasn't played around a lot. I mean, come on, we're all, you know, adults here. And what I find out in statistics is that teens are having sex more and more early in their life. You know, it's more accepted in this society. Don't hold it against a person for, you know, having past sexual involvement. Don't be jealous. You can't compete with those. It's in their past. But somebody who really has a lot of promiscuity has needs that need to be fulfilled. They feel more like they really are cared for because they've had a lot of sex with guys. Or switch it the other way. Guys who go out and have a lot of sex with a lot of different women, you know, they need to be feeling like, I'm the man. That happens a lot. And, you know, do you want to get somebody who's got a wandering eye and used to going out and having sex a lot with a lot of different people? So, you know, somebody who's a little more selective, that's the word I would use. You've got to kind of define what that is for you. Of course, the biggie here is truthful. Finding somebody who's, you know, really pretty honest with you and safe enough to talk to you is very important. Many couples play games when they're becoming acquainted, you know, and it's kind of a form of dishonesty, really. Marriage is not a game. Committing to somebody is not a game. It's a serious lifetime commitment. So search your own feelings, share honestly during your relationship, and look for someone who can be pretty open and honest with you, not dump their stuff on you. Oh, I need this. No, somebody who can be pretty honest with you and be vulnerable. Of course, responsibility's an important trait. You need to ask yourself, Brett, if a woman you might meet and you might like sees things that need to be done and do them. Do they volunteer? Do they have their own job? Are they responsible? Do they take responsibility for themselves and their actions? And that has to do with the ego thing I was just talking about as well. You know, are they vulnerable enough to say, yep, I screwed up. Sorry, we all do, but you're right. I'm not going to defend or say, well, you did this, you know. It's important to have, on that note, somebody who has a sense of self-worth. That's called self-esteem, you know. Because often what I see, Brett, in a dating relationship, somebody with poor self-esteem may kind of glean a sense of value from you. They become dependent on you and, you know, to make them feel good. So you don't want to have a lifelong relationship with somebody you have to tiptoe around, like you described here in this marriage, or somebody who you have to, you know, kowtow to or walk on eggshells because they need you so much and they want to know where you're at and what are you doing, and you can't hang out with friends anymore because you need to pay 100% attention to me and my needs.
Yeah.
You need somebody to accept you the way you are. Somebody who's not going to try to change you, Brett. You know, you can kind of, I don't know, brush up on things. Couples therapy is good before you start getting, you know, into a real heavy relationship if you want to get married or something. Just brush up on things. What would you like me to do a little bit more? But, you know, this is the way I am. I am very open and honest, and I say what I feel, so you can't change me. I do like sports shows, and I'm going to enjoy them, but we can negotiate. You know, that kind of thing that you talked about, Brett. Somebody is willing to grow also. Because good marriages grow together. Everybody goes through changes. And when life stuff happens, not good life stuff, you know, you have financial problems, you have problems with kids, if you decide to have kids, you lose jobs. Terrible. You lose family members. Our parents pass away. You got to be able to roll with the tough times. Rejoice in the good times. Somebody who's willing to grow. Somebody who's affectionate, and that's the biggie too. The ability to express love through words and actions. It's so important for an intimate love relationship, Red. And it sounds to me like your wife was an actress, and she wasn't able to do that. You know, you need to look for somebody who cares, thinks about you, has nice words, acts and touches, and you've got to have a good sexual relationship. I'm not talking about wild and crazy, wild, you know. No, just have affectionate, loving sexual relationships as often as you can. But I know life gets in the way and kids get in the way or stress gets in the way or other things in our lives get in the way. And that's cool. But you got to have kind of that time together to have those sexual relationships. And so those are some ideas for you, Brent. And I hope I helped answer your question a little bit. I'm glad that you sort of got some therapy and figured out that you didn't want to be a caregiver to someone anymore. And it's not a narcissistic thing. You do need to take care of yourself first, as I always say at the end of the show, before you, you know, help other people. That way you'll be good, you know, for other people. We have to kind of know who we are first. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. And welcome to the couch. Today, what I'm doing is answering a lot of emails I received. And I'm also taking live calls if you would like to ask me a question regarding a dilemma or some kind of problem you'd like to solve or something you want to work out within yourself. Let me know. You can call here live at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or you can email me, as many of my listeners have today, at docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. I want to remind you that we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but what I'm doing is I'm giving you suggestions on how to solve your problems based on some of the results that I've seen in the past that have helped people, and also based on, you know, studies. What helps people communicate better? What is really effective for solving certain problems in the past. So that's what I do. I'm not giving you specific advice on how to solve your problem. I'm just giving you some advice as to what's happened in the past on people, because I can't do that. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on within you, and I really don't know a lot of the details. So I can't give sketchy help to anyone unless I really know what's going on. All right. I have an email here from, and I love this name, Faith. What a cool name. Wouldn't that be cool to have your parents name you Faith? Wow. Anyway, she says, my boyfriend and I have a great relationship. The only thing that he complains about is that I'm too negative sometimes. When I say things like, that probably won't work, or, excuse me, I just can't relax because I've got so much going on at work. My guy says that I should try being more positive. What would you suggest I do? Because I always go to the negative place. Yeah, it's really hard, you know, kind of staying away from, you know, the positives all the time, because life is, you know, stuff happens in life. So it's not always that easy to be, oh, you know, positive. But we have to watch that because we all do it. So, Faith, I want you to know something that is really scientifically proven. Maybe this will help you out. Language colors experience, right? It's been found that the types of words we use can change expectations and even our perceptions of reality. It's all true. You know, you always hear the thing about what we think is how we live. And the way we express ourselves, and like you said, Faith, you're kind of negative. Oh, that's not going to work. Or the what ifs. What if I get fired? What if they don't like me? What if, you know? Yeah. So if you've been told, let's just say, let me give an example. If you've been told that a difficult person is a, quote, nightmare to work with, okay, you probably perceive that that person is not very nice. And you'll perceive them as more frustrating. So if you're in a workplace and a bunch of people go, they're a nightmare, you'll already be perceiving them as, ew, this person's not good. And you'll be gearing yourself up for that. Let me think of another example. Oh, I know. If you're going to the dentist and someone says, oh, I've had that before, and that's going to hurt a lot. I've had some bonding before on my gums, and that hurts a lot. Well, you're going to probably find the procedure more painful because you're expecting it. It's not that you're gearing up going, okay. Well, you may experience a lot of discomfort because you've been told that it's bad. So here's the deal, Faith. You have to kind of change up your language a little bit and your perceptions because it really does change your experiences. Research shows that people who speak different languages may say the same things differently based on the words that their language uses. You know, cultural differences and all. An example is that in different languages, it affects the perception of a color. So let's just say people who spoke a certain language that classifies blue and green as different shades of the same color, and they do. There are some languages that do this. They were less able than English speakers to differentiate colors that really towed the line between blue and green. And so, you know, it's like what you believe, what you perceive is what you dwell on. So negative talk can alter your experience of different things in life. So I don't want you to get stressed out. Okay? So if you have an increased, you know, sense of, you know, always thinking negative and talking negatively, you may perceive things as more stressful as well. That really affects your stress. When you tell yourself something's difficult or unfair, it becomes more stressful to deal with than if you say, hey, it's a challenge, or hey, this is a good test for me. I kind of need this. So using self-talk that's more optimistic rather than pessimistic has a lot of benefits in terms of managing your stress. And it helps your productivity at work. And, you know, of course, stress causes health problems. So, you know, research shows that if you lower your stress, you'll feel better. Also, if you say, I can't do this, or, you know, you're negative, that is self-limitation. This is because your subconscious mind is telling you to believe the thoughts it hears. So you can actually limit your abilities by telling yourself you can't. This is too hard. This isn't going to happen. Well, you're setting yourself up, okay? And when you tell yourself you can't handle something or you have some other self-limiting thought, you tend to stop looking for solutions, okay? For instance, let me just give you this one last thing, Faith, and then we have a caller on the line. Notice the difference between telling yourself you can't handle something and asking yourself how you're going to handle something. Doesn't the second thought feel a little more helpful? Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel a little more self-empowered? Because negative self-talk is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So stopping negative thoughts, you know, and creating habitually positive internal dialogue, it can just really reduce that stress within you. And it can give you more power to deal with things. So that's what I would suggest, Faith. And try to change it up a bit, change your language. You know, the language we use colors our experiences, and that's the way it is. All right. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on my couch. And, of course, you can email me here at docmichelle@aol.com. That's Michelle with two L's. If you have any questions, suggestions, something going on in your life you'd like to ask me, or if you want to call live here on the air, you can do so. 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but what I'm doing is just giving you suggestions and ideas about things that have worked in the past for other people, and research, too, what that shows in terms of possibly helping you out. We have a caller on the line, and hi, this is Dr. Michelle. Welcome to the couch.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. This is my name is Randy.
Hey, Randy, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, doing all right.
What's going on?
I really enjoy your show and listen to it as much as I can. And you know, I have some problems, and I don't want to go to therapy, but you know what? I've been having some issues that I think that affect my life.
Okay,
so,
why don't you want to go to therapy?
My friends say, "Oh, you're going to go to therapy, huh?" So I just, you know, I think I probably should.
Yeah.
So because I've got a hot temper.
Oh, okay, what's going
and,
on?
And my girlfriend just broke up with me. Mm. She says because I'm always too angry.
Uh-oh.
And things piss me off. Things get under my skin, and I get very angry about things.
So you admit this?
Yeah, I admit this.
Okay. What kinds of things get you angry, Randy?
Oh, my boss. He's an asshole. Excuse my language. I'm on radio, right?
So yeah, it's cool.
Okay. My girlfriend bugs me. She does things that piss me off.
Like what?
You know, the way she says certain things, the way she does certain things, mm-hmm. that kind of pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's silly things. And when I'm calm and I'm relaxed, I can see that. But mm-hmm. at the moment when something happens, it just I just feel like exploding. It's like she always runs late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I say to her, look, we need to be someplace at a certain time, mm-hmm. Meeting my friends or going out, and she's always running a half an hour late. And I've gotten to a point where we're supposed to be someplace at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. I'll chalk it down and I'll say, well, we're supposed to be there at 7:30, and the actual is supposed to be there at 8. So I don't like to do that, but she doesn't right. respect me. I feel like she doesn't respect me enough to be on time.
Well, that's legitimate, you know, to be upset about. It's the way you handle, you know, the anger on that particular matter that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's a biggie. You know, if you're a punctual person and she's not, it sort of shows that, you know, she's not being respectful of you and your needs. So, you know, on that matter real quick, is what a lot of people do sometimes is they say, well, I'll see you there if you can show up. Or, and you take your own car, you leave, and you are appropriate and punctual, and do not take responsibility for that person being late. If they want to show up, have them show up late. And that's
I would never.
Is.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Well, we broke up, so you know, maybe we'll get back together. But I don't know. But yeah. I wouldn't do that to her.
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't
like
do that to anybody.
Sounds like she disrespects you. No, it's not it's not a bad thing. It's called, you know, not you getting upset about being able to control her.
Right.
You know, time issues, and that's a bit disrespectful. It really is. It's a little passive aggressive, but okay. So that's something. It's the way you express your anger. I mean, you can tell someone something that bothers you time and time and time again, and then you get to the point where you get frustrated and you want to blow up, right?
Right, exactly. But I blow up.
At a lot of things?
Something will happen, and I get very angry. I get very upset. And how can I control that? How can I be less angry? Do you have any tools? Do you have anything that you can,
well, I can tell you,
know, you
what's worked
share
for people.
With me that I can, you know.
Okay. I can tell you what's worked for other people in the past. And if you are recognizing, first of all, that you do blow up easily, that's a good sign, Randy. You know?
About blowing up?
That's a good sign that you're reaching out for help. And I would suggest, number one, that you get into anger management groups. I know it's kind of, there's a comedy out right now, right? And it's about getting into anger management. There was a movie.
Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Right, right. But anyway, you know, the thing is that they really do help, because you're able to, with a good therapist or an anger management therapist one-on-one, learn what your triggers are and why. So,
interesting.
You know, it's sort of like you have to explore yourself, as this is what people do to manage anger in most, you know, anger management situations is, you know, they learn what the root of their anger is. You have to sort of define, write down, why are you getting so upset? Do you think that you have to control everything and everybody all the time? Is that what
right.
it is? Yeah. Do you feel frustrated because you can't control other people? Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you have to control other people? Why? What are you fearing that you can't allow in other people that makes you go off the handle?
I have to think about that.
Let me ask you this. Who in your family used to blow up and model this anger to you?
My dad. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one. My dad.
Okay. So he was angry a lot, and would he yell at you and the whole family, or how did that
happen? Oh, yeah. He was terrible.
Okay.
He was terrible.
Did you ever tell yourself, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself, here I am, getting angry at silly things, stupid things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, anger's normal. It's a normal feeling, and a lot of times, if we look at anger, we find that the root of anger is pain. It's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the deep hurt within you, and I don't mean to get all mushy and weird on the radio, because this is not your and my therapy session. I'm not your therapist. But what I'm saying is a lot of people who have anger issues sort of have to look at control problems that they have. And also, you know, there's so many factors going on with anger. It's not just one thing. You know, we all get frustrated. Sometimes life gets in the way. Things happen. We lose jobs. We lose relationships. Things don't go perfect for us. We can't control other people. The only thing we can control in our lives, Randy, are our thoughts and our behaviors. That's it. You can't control anybody else. You can control your children by giving them timeouts if they're naughty. They're children. Or by rewarding them for loving and good behavior. But you can't control other people as an adult. You can only control your thoughts and your behaviors. Everybody is coming from a different place. Everybody has their own issues, their own needs, their own wants, their own anger. So how to stop getting angry is exactly what you're doing right now. Notice that your anger has affected your life. Your girlfriend broke up with you because you're too angry. Okay?
Yeah.
So what you need to do is find some creative solutions that are going to make you feel better. There's a word called sublimation. It's an old defense mechanism, the healthiest one you can have, which means that you sublimate your anger into something else. If you start to feel amped and angry right away, go for a run. Focus on a task that you love to do to get your mind off it. Go turn on the TV if you're into a sports game or something. Defocus.
How about hitting a bag?
But you know what? What they found from the olden days, they used to have these experiments with what were called Bobo dolls. Have you ever heard of that? It's an old experiment that they did back.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's like back in the 60s. And what they did is they'd have these children who had anger management problems in a room with these big blown up, life-size
BOGO dolls.
They were these large blown-up sort of like a large beach ball with a weight in the bottom of it. So when they socked it and hit it, when they were angry, they taught the children to sock and hit these Bobo dolls, and they'd go down, and then they'd spring up again, and they'd hit them, and they'd go down and spring. So these children, they were doing this experiment on how to manage anger in children. So the theory was, if you take it out on these Bobo dolls, you're going to be released and feel cleansed. Oh, you feel so much better. We also used to use these things back in the 80s called patakas, and you'd beat, they were like bats in therapy with big padding around them. So you'd beat a chair and you'd cuss somebody out who you were mad at or something in your life. What they found is that all this did was give your brain more permission to be angrier and also hit more often. So the more you trained your brain to sock and hit and punch when you got angry, the more it was okay for you to do that. So it just sort of reinforced, you know, being able to hit and punch walls. You know, there's a lot of kids who punch walls. A lot of people who do that too. Or destroy property. They slam their hands into things. They hurt themselves. So my thing would be, instead of punching and hitting, go for a run. Get on that treadmill. Go on the elliptical and get your heart rate up. Do something that's not proactively destructive, but something that's going to get your heart rate up, something that's going to defocus your brain. Watch a really great game, one of your favorite sports on TV. So sublimate is my point. Sublimation's great.
If you feel you're saying yourself, find a happy place.
Find a happy place. It's hard for people to do that. That's right. If that, you know, if you have a chance to relax, a lot of people who have anger are sort of hot-tempered and they can't sit and relax and focus because they have this knee-jerk reaction of, you know, flying off the handle. But if you're one of these people who can take relaxation classes, and I'm not talking about, you know, any kind of spiritual, I mean, that helps too, but any kind of meditation or anything that might be difficult, just relax, focus, and breathe in the moment. And go to a, like you said, happy place, Randy. Go to wherever a nice, relaxing place would be for you, whether it's in a serene place in the woods or the mountains or the beach or whatever. Right. Try to breathe and go there. If you find yourself getting amped so you don't knee jerk. And may I, these are just quick fixes on the surface, you see. So to keep you from blowing up. You might, before you start to blow up, some people don't have the ability to even stop themselves. But before you feel, when you feel yourself bubbling, you might have this word in your head, say, stop, Randy. Stop. Just say, stop. Why am I doing this? Ask yourself, why am I getting so pissed? And is this going to ruin my relationship if I do this? You know, you probably have, I don't know, inherited maybe some of the...
I just get so pissed. It just I see red, and I don't want to hurt anybody. And I
have you ever hurt anybody?
Yeah, I hurt my brother. I beat him up once, and that wasn't good.
No,
wasn't good at all.
No, you were young.
This was about 5 years ago.
Oh boy.
But he pissed me off, you know?
Yeah, but you don't solve problems. Did he come to you and hurt you?
No.
Okay.
He said a couple things, and I didn't like it. So.
Okay.
See, that's not good.
You need to go to a specialist who works on anger management. And just, you need to get a handle of, why are you so angry? You know, knowing that you're just repeating exactly how your dad was. And why are you doing that? You don't want to be your dad. So if you want to have healthy relationships in the future, you're going to have to chill out. Because you scare people, you freak people out. People don't want to be around people, you know, who are angry, you know.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. And, you know, you need to get some, I know, but you need to get somebody to help you with changing your thoughts. Because a lot of people who are angry usually have sort of distorted thinking. In other words, somebody says something to you, like your brother you just talked about, that triggers some hurt or something. Well, you're distorting it that you are this way. So that triggers you, and you've got a lash out and do something. You've got to learn not to defend. What are you defending? What are you afraid of? Who caused you so much pain to where you're frustrated and angry? And you need to work through these old things from the past. And that's what helps a lot of people who have anger issues. You know, it can mess up your health too. You know, it can mess with your blood pressure. It really is a huge stressor on your heart. Being so angry amps up your heart rate, your blood pressure, you know, all that. It's not good. And it can hurt your career. If you're pissed at your boss, you know, that's not a good thing either. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope I gave you some ideas, Randy, and I thank you so much for calling here on the couch.
You did. You did, Doc. Okay. I really appreciate it. And I'll email you. You know, I'd like some recommendations.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I don't know what area.
If you can do that for
me. I don't know what area you're in. What area do you live in?
I'm in Phoenix.
Okay. If you're in Phoenix, what I would suggest you do is go online and Google anger management psychologists.
Okay.
That's what, and under your insurance plan, and go from there. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know any particular psychologists who are anger management specialists in Phoenix, but just Google it. They're all over the place. Yeah. Go on Psychology Today.
You're making me realize that I need help.
Yeah, you do. You do, honey. And I thank you for calling up and being safe enough and talking to me about it and feeling vulnerable enough, you know, to say that to me. It took a lot for you to call.
I want to get back with my girlfriend, and I want to show her that I'm man enough to acknowledge that I did something wrong. And, you know, I didn't hurt her physically. I just blew up.
Yeah.
And that's
scary.
Not right. She doesn't deserve that.
Well, no one deserves it. And have you had resolve with your brother yet? Have you apologized to him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he beat me up.
No. Oh, that's how he resolved your problems? He beat you up?
No, I'm just...
Okay.
I'm having fun with you, Doc.
Oh, good.
Doc.
Good, because I like to hear you lighten up. So the fact that you call me is a great step. The fact that you're lightening up and you want to get back with her and you want to show her and you want to get therapy, go for it, please. Because
I got to go. Thank you so much,
All right.
Doc.
Have a great day. Thanks for calling, Randy.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Yeah. That's such a common problem, is anger. How do we manage that anger? How do we keep ourselves from, you know, having outbursts? Hopefully y'all were listening, and hopefully Randy will get some help with that, because it's no fun. It's no fun to be the guy who's always, or the lady, who's always seen as, oh, God, I don't want to be around them. They're always blowing up. You know, who wants to be that person? Who wants to be tagged as that person that's always blowing up, making everybody upset and uncomfortable? All right. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch here, and I welcome you to call, as Randy did, at 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, or you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. Today, what I'm doing is I'm answering a lot of your emails that have sort of accumulated over the last couple of weeks here. Let's see here. And I appreciate you all writing me. So, let's see. Let's move through. Let's move through. Here's a good one. This is from Brenda. And she said, I've heard you talk about how to communicate in better ways with your partner and how to disagree in a healthy, as you call it, manner. Okay. I'm tired of fighting with my husband over the stupidest things. I think we are both stressed from working and trying to handle two kids. I don't know how to deal with it sometimes. When things come up at home, like who does what chores, who is paying more for bills, who is cooking tonight, we get into big arguments. I don't want to do this in front of our 5 and 7-year-olds. Good. I'm glad. What are some of the best ways you can suggest we talk and not argue so we can be happier as a family? All right. Thank you so much, Brenda, for emailing me on this. This is a real common question that I have. Not only online, but in my practice. So every relationship has conflict. It's called normal. That's how we work out our issues. It's the way you argue, just like the guy who last called me. What was his name? Randy? It's the way you approach someone when you're feeling hurt or upset. You know, angry Randy apparently blows up. And he bursts out and puts his anger on everybody. And he recognizes he has a problem. But it's the way you handle conflict. It's the way you talk, you know, with your partner. Conflict isn't a problem. It's how it's handled. You know, so it can bring people together or can tear them apart. We all have differences in opinions. Hopefully, you know, the deal breakers that you have in your marriage are being resolved. You know, the financial issues, how to raise kids, how to love each other kindly, give and take, things like that. Those are deal breakers. But see, you've got to work on your communication skills, and your husband should be listening too. So what you guys can do is listen to the download or replay after tomorrow on this show, and then you can maybe take notes if he's not listening. Because poor communication skills can be a source of anger and distance, and, you know, it can get worse and worse. So you've got to learn how to talk to each other a little nicer and work out some of the little bitty issues. And the way it's been shown in the past to better communicate with people in studies is to stay focused. If you're having a conflict, is to give each other respect and listen carefully to each other, to try to see your partner's point of view. If you're being criticized, let it happen. Don't put your ego up and try to defend yourself. Let it happen. Not being bullied, but just say, you know, you're right, I screwed up. Have a little bit of empathy for the other person. Own what's yours. Look for some kind of compromise. There's always a compromise. There's like a 30-70 or a 60-40. There's not always 50-50. But we try to come to compromise on certain big issues. Okay? Do not argue in front of your kids. If you're that heated in discussions, take a time out. These are silly things, as you say. You know, Brenda? You say they're silly things. Yeah. Don't give up. You know, the goal of effective communication skills should be mutual understanding and finding a solution that pleases both of you guys. Not winning the argument. It's not a contest or being right. You know, marriage is not a contest. You know, try to be gentle with each other. Use I messages rather than saying you. Don't condemn him. You do this. You're stupid. You're unthoughtful. No. Don't say things like that. Say, I feel sad sometimes when you come home and you don't help me with this. I feel frustrated when that happens. I would love it if you could help me with blah, blah, blah. So you guys have to give and take. You know, using those I messages, not condemning, listening to each other. And that's all about respect. That's about thoughtfulness. That's about really trying to make it work. So conflict is normal. You have to talk to your partner in a calmer manner. Screaming and yelling is not going to help. It's not going to. You just have to be calm and learn how to talk. I would suggest you guys maybe go to, you know, a marriage counselor, someone who's really, you know, good at conflict, managing conflict, because you don't want to start amping up in front of the kids. That's really unhealthy, and then you're going to teach your kids how to be angry. Just like Randy said, because he said his dad was angry all the time, and that's what he learned, and he never wanted to be like his dad, but that's the only way he learned to solve problems is to amp up and get angry and blow everybody away with his temper. And you all don't want to do that. Sounds to me like you really want to work it out. So thank you so much for emailing me, Brenda. I sure appreciate it. Wow, that's about it for the show today. We have had a fast almost hour together. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I've enjoyed having you on my couch. You can stay if you like. There's more great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio, along with CBS News. Find out what's going on in the world. I'll be back next week. Got a great self-help author going to help you with more of your relationships. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you will be better for others. And that's what it's about. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.